888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vampides.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
4-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Folks, it's phenomenal what I do. You get to lay on TLD.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the biggest show in Blog Talk Radio history. It is PWP Radio. We are coming live after 24 hours after an amazing Raw and 48 hours after an Elimination Chamber. Tonight is on the road to WrestleMania, and we have some big things to talk about tonight, including WrestleMania itself, 29, coming up. But more importantly, some of the moments and some of the memories that you have had at your own WrestleMania parties or experience. We're going to start off right away with that. Then we're going to go right into Monday Night Raw, talk about all the great things that happened and the big announcement for next year's WrestleMania. But before we get into anything, let's plug. This is ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We are an article and blog website talking about some amazing things that are going on in pro wrestling. Jay Leno could not make it tonight. He's feeling under the weather. But honestly, I think it's just because he loved my Elimination Chamber show so much that he said, you know what, Will? I just can't compete with you, and I need to have you be on the air. And that's exactly what I did. I rushed home from work. I have my popcorn, which is delicious, and we are ready to go. I'm going to bring on the official co-host of the evening. He was my co-host two nights ago, JCD. Welcome to the show, my man.
What up? We must have drew like a monster rating that right now we are in the main event slot.
Oh, that's right. Yes, Jay was so impressed by our performance that he just said, you know what, I am speechless. And he just could not be on the show tonight, you know. But I know Jason will feel a lot better. I'm sure he's feeling all right. All right, so let's get down to business tonight. We are going to talk again about WrestleMania moments. There are so many moments that I have been a part of at WrestleMania itself. JCD, how many WrestleManias have you attended?
Two.
And which two are those?
10 and 20.
All right, I have been to 10, 20, and 18. So I'm sure those are going to be our favorite moments. So let's get on right away. We're going to talk about memories first. And then we'll go through moments. I don't know what the difference is, but apparently there's a difference. So to you, if you had to say one of your favorite memories of all time at WrestleMania, what's the one that sticks out to you?
All right. This may be a little unpopular because of how everything ended.
That's all
but
right.
But I'm going to be honest with you. My favorite memory's got to be WrestleMania 20 when however many people were at the Garden and they were all yelling tap at Triple H when Benoit had him in the crossface. I mean, that was just unbelievable live. And, you know, I mean, the way everything turned, unfortunately, but that moment was just phenomenal. Just that whole place in unison. They were split from Michaels. You were there. You know,
yeah.
Half the Garden hated Michaels. Three quarters of the Garden hated Triple H, but no one hated Benoit in that crowd. And when he dumped Michaels over the top and spun out of the pedigree and put him in the crossface, that building yelling tap, 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 that was just, to me, that was just phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was there. I felt that. People were really, really into it. I think that it was a great moment indeed for you know, Benoit and how the crowd was really invested into WrestleMania 20. You know, years later, we look at WrestleMania 20 as not one of the top ones when it really could have been, you know, but I think it was
if you look at that card top to bottom, take the obvious stuff out of it.
Okay.
You look at that card top to bottom, sure, it's got some snoozes on there with the Cruiserweight Open and the two four-team tag title matches. But if you look at what else that card had, Cena Big Show for the U.S. title, Cena's WrestleMania match debut and first ever title win, Eddie Angle,
there he is. Okay.
The Triple Threat, Jericho Christian, Undertaker Kane, you know, Orton and Evolution against Rock and Sock, it's not a bad card.
Yeah, well, that was the last event for The Rock before he came back at 27. So we're going to move forward. I have a couple calls on the line, ladies and gentlemen. See, this is what we do, JCD. We are popular. All right, we're going to answer. This is 706. You are now live. Talk about one of your WrestleMania memories. But before you do that, what is your name and where are you from?
Hey, this is Toph. Call all the time. I'm from Georgia.
Oh, Toph. How you doing, sir?
Toph. Hey, this is funny because it's like usually it's like, you know, I'm trolling Jay, but now I'm trolling you guys. So I can be the third man. It can be like the outsiders in the NWO.
Yes, well, actually, you're controlling me. I am the man in charge, man. I love it. I love being a part of this. Right now, I can hang up on every single one of you, and you can't do a thing about it. That's what makes it so great. So, Toph, talk about
it. Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. All right, Toph, what is some of your WrestleMania memories? Let's talk about the top one in your mind.
Memories? Does this have to be just a match or a memory in general?
No, just anything.
What is
Yeah,
go.
Okay. Well, my favorite memory would definitely have to be WrestleMania 14 when the Kane Tombstone Pete Rose. It was just awesome. I love the promo that Pete Rose cut. How he was just, you know, trashing the town about how they haven't won, I think, a World Series title, and Kane just came out, and that was like when he was scary and fresh, and the whole fire pyro thing caught people off guard, and he just tombstoned them. I just love the way that Jim Ross oversold. You know, it was like, no, that's Pete Rose.
That's Pete Rose.
Yeah, so JR can just oversell anything and just make it exciting. That's definitely my favorite favorite moment. My favorite match, though, would definitely be probably a tie. Probably Rock Austin from WrestleMania 19 from the entertainment aspect. Just simply based on how much they were mocking each other. As far as my favorite actual match goes, would have to be Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 21. That's an underrated classic. For some reason, fans don't talk about it as much as they should, but I love that match. I watch it all the time.
All right. Well, thank you for those moments. I'm going to put you on hold and get you back on. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring on one of my good personal best friends. He is Mr. Negative J himself. Mr. Negative J, how you doing, sir? Okay, don't pick up the phone. That's fine. All right. Jay, are you there? No, you're not. Okay. Okay, 732, are you there?
Yeah, what's going on?
How you doing? Who is this and where are you calling from?
I'm Nick from New Jersey.
Hi, Nick from New Jersey. How you doing tonight?
All right, how you doing?
I'm doing good. So, first-time caller?
Yeah, first-time calling, yeah.
Well, welcome to the show. Great to have you on. I'm sorry, I thought you were my friend Jay. You guys have similar numbers. So let me know, have you been to any WrestleManias?
Yeah, I've actually attended WrestleMania 20, as long as all the major pay-per-views, the big four, King of the Ring, SummerSlam, 98, you know, all the big ones.
Well, of all the WrestleManias, what's your favorite memory?
I got to say, memory, it's got to be WrestleMania 14 when Stone Cold beat HBK. I think that right there kind of changed the whole landscape of not only the business, but just the wrestling universe in general. I think that was the time when they finally went over WCW, and it kind of made Austin, that started the era, and they moved away from like that Hogan, you know, all that Hogan and Andre the Giant era. And it just completely changed the whole path that wrestling took. And basically, it was just not a bigger moment to me than that right there when Stone Cold won it.
Nick, that's actually a really, really great moment. I mean, 14 was definitely one of the strongest WrestleManias, just because, yes, they were going against WCW, and that was the moment that I think that really brought them to a whole new level on that playing field. That was definitely incredible. I'm going to hold on there. We're going to get to our next caller. We are getting so many calls. I'm going to try to get as many people as we can. 606, you are now live. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Bobby Daniels, and I'm calling from Kentucky.
Oh, Bobby Daniels, how are you doing today, sir? From Kentucky. Is your first time calling in?
My very first time. Yes, I was actually told to call by a few friends of mine on Facebook.
Oh, well, they are the best friends you have ever had. I like them. They're my favorite people ever.
So just a quick shout-out, Josh Goodman, Jay Polzer, Tom Emma. Love you guys. Thank you for...
Yes, they're actually good friends of mine. Tell me about your favorite WrestleMania memories.
Well, actually, it's going to be a little bit older than, you know, some of the fans you would have. WrestleMania 6, 67,000 Toronto Sky Dome, when Jake the Snake Roberts, I mean, put that DDT on Ted DiBiase. I mean, I saw the crowd just raise up. They didn't do that any time during the Hogan Warrior match, but when Jake put that DDT on, that was just classic. I loved it. You had two great storytellers right there in the ring telling a great story.
I agree. You know, that's actually a very forgotten memory, especially with Jake Roberts. He's a very forgotten memory. He's got some great WrestleMania moments, including, you know, the whole thing with Alice Cooper. Who could forget that moment? That was one of the best. Let's go on to the next call. Amazing amount of callers tonight, guys, and we do appreciate it here at hashtag PWP Radio. 732-974, you're on the air. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes.
This is Negative J.
Yes, Negative J is officially on the air, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, Jay?
I'm good. That was not Negative J that you were talking to earlier, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, I know that. I apologize. 2732 numbers. What am I going to do?
I've been to WrestleMania 10 and WrestleMania 20, but I'd have to say my favorite WrestleMania memory is WrestleMania 19, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm. That match.
Probably my favorite match.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. One of my favorite things about that was just there was a story behind it. You know, everyone
yep.
could feel that story, and I thought that was one of my top favorite moments of all time. As far as watching that live, it was really great. As far as my memory goes, I went to WrestleMania 18, and nothing beats Toronto Sky Dome than The Rock and, you know, John Cena. Well, I almost said that. It's the Rock and Hulk Hogan. There was nothing better than that moment for me as going there. I'm hoping 29 will surpass that moment. It's going to be tough. But being able to go to Toronto and being able to be a part of WrestleMania 18, you know, with everything that went on, you know, just a phenomenal, phenomenal atmosphere that was around that. I mean, Jason, I mean, we all watched that, you know, WrestleMania. So we're going to go now past that. Let's talk about just matches in general. JCD, do you have a match in general that you enjoyed overall?
Yes, and I can watch it anytime, and it even goes older than the guy from Kentucky. Give me some Savage Steamboat WrestleMania 3 any day of the week.
Now, why was that match so good? Because honestly, I've had other matches I felt were better. I mean, not just me.
Is it?
I mean, I know it's like one of the first ones, but why is that one stand out?
It holds. It holds up. It really does. I mean, Savage and Steamboat were always, you know, like Bobby said about DiBiase and Jake were great storytellers. The story behind that feud was the way they set that up was actually at the time in 86, 87, a little extreme. You know, the whole thing with Savage, you know, crushing Steamboat's larynx, you know, supposedly with the guardrail, with the ring bell. That was a little different from where they had gone to set up matches in the past. So it had that behind it. And it just went so good. And the way it ended, just so with a, you know, after all the action on it, and it ended simply with a small package. It was not overbooked. There was nothing over the top. It was just, it to me, I mean, I'm you know, I remember that when that happened. That's one that there's a lot of times I'll watch DVDs, I'll fast forward through stuff, you know, but that I will always watch. You know, that to me stands out as my favorite. I know it's the easy answer, but that one stands out.
No, I mean, there are so many wrestlers that idolized that match and got them into the business. You know, and Jericho is a very good advocate of that. You know, there are a lot of people who really enjoyed that match and what it did for the Intercontinental title and what it did for guys in the business who are just all about wrestling. And that was a tremendous match. Indeed, it was. Toph, talk about one of your favorite WrestleMania matches. I know you discussed it, but let's go to another one.
Let me think about it.
Okay.
Probably would have to be
okay.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, outside of Angle and Shawn Michaels, my second favorite match would most likely have to be another Kurt Angle match, Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit at WrestleMania 17.
That's another forgotten match that we don't get to hear about much anymore. You know, why did that match stand out to you? Why was it?
Well, it stood out more, particularly after, like, post Money in the Bank. Like, you know, WrestleMania 21 was when they introduced Money in the Bank, and from 21 to 26, you know, we have Money in the Bank, and starting from 27, from where we are now, the Money in the Bank was gone. And I think, you know, I've talked about this before, I think that Money in the Bank has indirectly spoiled us as fans, because what they've done throughout the years in Money in the Bank is they take every upper mid-carder or lower mid-carder, or basically they take everybody from the mid-card, and they just put them in a Money in the Bank match. And because of that, from Mania 21 to 26, we never really had any strong mid-card feuds, and the mid-card titles were always kind of lost in the shuffle. So if you look at that and you go back to the teenage years of Mania, you'll see that back then they still built those strong upper mid-card feuds. And it was only after looking at those Manias that I just mentioned, 21 to 26, that I go back and watch 17 and realize how great Benoit Angle was. I like the match because that was when the mid-card was still given a slot at Mania. You don't see that anymore. It was two strong upper mid-card guys. Angle was already a former world champion at that point, and Benoit's stock was rising, and it was just two guys that were feuding about who was the better wrestler. Didn't have anything to do with a title or number one contender slot. It was just a great, strong, solid upper mid-card match, and that's just something you don't see at Mania anymore.
Well, WrestleMania 17 is one of the strongest WrestleManias. I think we could all agree on that one. You know, and that
you
match...
want a little quick unforgotten fact about that match?
Oh, please do.
That match came together the Monday night before WrestleMania.
Oh, well, see, I forget those things, but I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, so, they actually put that together, the go-home Raw before Mania.
Well, and there you go. And, you know, even I think that even though it was probably building ahead of time, it just the match itself was overall really definitely one of the memories I remember. Nick from New Jersey, tell us a little bit about a match that you really enjoyed.
It's got to be six, man. The Warrior and Hogan.
That's Jay Leno's really... favorite one, by the way. Jay Leno could talk about that all the time. That's right. Our host, by the way, our owner of PWP Radio, who brings us to us every week. So we thank you, Jay, for that, by the way. Go ahead, Nick, continue.
Yeah, it was just, to me, the memory that sticks out the most, because Hogan was, like, on top, and it was kind of like Warrior coming in. Even though I don't think it was justified, you know, if you look at the body of work those both of those guys have, you can't compare it now. But at the moment, just Warrior couldn't be stopped, and I think they – it says more than just, you know, what happened in the match for – you know, let's say Vince to decide to put anyone over at Hogan at that time, it's kind of like the equivalent of someone ending Undertaker streak now. You know what I mean? So to me, that was just like monumental, and that's something that I think, you know, the title for title, you know, Warrior walking away with both belts, it was with all the marbles. You know, you don't see matches like that anymore. I think the last Undisputed we had was, what, Jericho? So, I mean... it was unique, and it was special, and it was two, like, great performers, and it was just something that you weren't really, you know, you didn't really know what could happen. It was unpredictable, you know what I mean?
No, yeah, the crowd was completely split in that match, you know, and Edge and Christian were there, and they could tell you how split that arena was when that was going on. I'm going to go a little bit the opposite. Since you have Negative Jay on the line, Jay, what's one of your worst WrestleMania moments? One that you just totally hate.
Definitely going to be, I think it was WrestleMania 15, Undertaker, Boss Man. Hell in a Cell was probably the worst, one of the worst matches I think I've ever seen. I'm sitting here, I'm actually trying not to be as negative, and I'm forced to be negative because of that match.
Well, I think a lot of people could say that was not one of the highlights of their night when WrestleMania 15.
I did have a good WrestleMania match, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
WrestleMania 22, this match stole the show. Edge, Mick Foley, flaming table, thumbtacks.
That's another
hardcore match.
Forgotten one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually, WrestleMania 22 is one of the ones I watch a lot, just because I thought that match has a lot to do with it. And the Boogeyman and Booger T, too. Absolutely.
Oh,
totally agree. Man, I got so many popcorn kernels stuck in me. I'm going to go to one of my WrestleMania favorites of all time. Believe it or not, I'm a sucker for this match. I don't know why, but I love the Raven, Kane, and Big Show hardcore match. I don't know why, but I just absolutely love it. That was one of the best hardcore matches of all time at WrestleMania 17. That one sticks out, and Kurt Angle, and I would say, and Kurt Angle plus versus Shawn Michaels, I thought was another good one. So since we've gotten through that, let's talk about the last thing before we go on to the next topic, and that is the best and worst WrestleManias of all time. JCD, take it away, your favorite WrestleMania and your worst.
Favorite's got to be 17. The worst? Boy, take your pick between like 11, 12, and 13.
Well, you pick one.
All right. Give me.
Show. We're talking overall.
Give
show.
Me 12. Give me 12.
Wow.
Despite the Iron Man match.
Wow.
That show's bad.
Really?
I don't. That show got ruined by Hall and Nash going to WCW, and the fact that they had to give Hart and Michaels over an hour just totally sucked the life out of it. Just, yeah, that show's brutal to watch.
Wow. Tope, Negative J, Tope more specifically, what was your reaction to that one? 12 being one of the worst WrestleManias of all time?
Oh, I agree. I was there. It was bad.
Oh, you were there?
Yes,
oh.
I was there. Yes, I was a funny story, actually. I was part of a private school back then, and we were doing a fundraiser to go to Disneyland, which was located in California, and we had been saving money for a long time, and so we were able to go. And while we were there, my dad and I saved some money, and he took me to WrestleMania 12, and I think back then I was like maybe – I think 7 or 8, and like I was a huge Bret Hart fan, and I didn't really care too much about Shawn Michaels, and I was totally invested in the Iron Man match. But outside of the Iron Man match, I was pretty bored the whole time, even as a kid. And I was really disappointed because Razor Ramon was one of my favorite wrestlers, and I wanted to meet him, and he was on the front cover. He was on the poster. I don't know if you guys remember the poster for Mania 12,
yeah.
But yeah, Ramon was on the poster. Yeah, but he Yeah, but I think by that point he had already was on his way to WCW, so he wasn't there. And I think what they did was they had Piper and Goldust kill time in some filler parking lot match or something.
Yep.
The Hollywood Backlot Brawl. Let's get more.
Yeah, Hollywood Backlot Brawl.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. WrestleMania 12. Okay. Well, two haters on 12. Negative J, you probably hate all the WrestleManias, but pick your worst one.
No, definitely the worst ones. I agree with both of them. WrestleMania 12.
Wow.
Brutal, tough to watch.
I don't understand how WrestleMania 11 wasn't worse than that. Please tell me how. Somebody.
All right, I'll tell you right now. Look at the undercard. Take Taylor Bigelow out of it. Look at you had Michaels probably carry Nash to the best match of his career. Hart Backlund is quietly underrated.
Yes.
Undertaker Bundy was one of the few times the streak was actually in jeopardy. And the Yokozuna return as Owen's partner just made the destruction of the Smoking Guns that much more amazing. And you actually got a really good Razor-Jeff Jarrett match.
Well, you know, here's what I'm looking at the card, and I remember watching WrestleMania 11, which, by the way, I thought was one of the worst WrestleManias of all time. There was nothing special about it, you know, except for Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bigelow. That was the only thing that was worthwhile. The first, I mean, Allied Powers versus the Blue Brothers. I mean, and think of look at the talent back then compared to what we have. And, you know, Undertaker and King Kong Bundy, honestly, there's no way you could put Undertaker, you know, King Kong Bundy and not think that. That match was even very, very quick, too. That wasn't even a very long match.
Which
is
surprising, but if you look at the build-up to that match, Bundy was actually a major threat. It worked for the time.
You know, I just don't think people were invested like in the Bundy like they were in the past. You know, I just don't think there was a much, you know, investment in it. You know, I think, you know, the reason why I like 12 is that I thought they had very strong headlining matches. They had the Warrior come back. They had the Undertaker and Diesel, which I still think is a great match. I don't care what anybody says. Roddy
it's
Piper
a shame
and Goldust,
what,
still
what should have
good.
Happened with that match.
You know, well, you know, who's here and who's not, right? So,
well, no, but if Nash doesn't go to WCW, Nash goes over Taker.
Well, he ruined that himself. He's the only one that could have, that streak could have ended, but
yeah.
I'm sure they weren't even thinking of a streak at that time. But
no, it wasn't being billed as a streak, but Nash was supposed to go over Taker because Nash and Michaels were going to do the spring into the summer, rekindling the feud from the year previously.
Well, it didn't happen that way. So, let's talk about our favorite WrestleMania matches, and we're going to move on. JCD, your favorite. What did you say your favorite was again?
Steamboat Savage.
Well, I'm talking about the Mania itself, whole WrestleMania.
Oh, 17.
Okay, that's right. You said 17. That's right. Thank you very much for reminding me. Toph, your favorite WrestleMania of all time?
It's going to be a tie between 17 and 19.
17 and 19. Those are two strong ones as well. Negative J, your favorite?
Tie between 19 and 28.
19 and 28. 28, really?
Yeah, I think the Rock Cena match was good. Punk Jericho was a show stealer. Undertaker Triple H is a classic. And the only shame about that was Sheamus D. Bryan only getting, you know, 18 seconds.
I thought that was my favorite moment of the entire night. So, actually, I love that part. If it wasn't for that, he would never be over. So, my favorite WrestleMania will be 10 and 18. I attended both of them. 10 overall, it was just a great atmosphere. If you were a Bret Hart fan, you just absolutely loved that Mania. Owen Hart getting over. You know, he actually flipped off his brother right on camera, too, which I thought was kind of funny. But I thought 18 was really great. I thought Undertaker and Ric Flair was a great matchup. It's very underrated as a match, you know, in my opinion. Even seeing Diamond Dallas Page being at WrestleMania, having his only match, really, technically, it was really good to have that. But we are going to move forward. I have the paper right in front of me. Let's see, Jay gave me this, yes. Oh, yeah, we're going to plug TLDWrestling.com. Yes, I just did that. All right, so let's talk about Monday Night Raw and the biggest moment of Raw. We're going to get some takeaways here, but some big moments is John Cena is putting his WrestleMania title shot on the line against CM Punk next week. Big news out of that, Vince McMahon will be coming back to the show to fight Paul Heyman. And then at the very end of the show, we've been waiting many years for this, but a new championship has come about. Let's start right away with the title. I know that's something a lot of people have been talking about for many years. We need a new belt. We need a new belt. We got ourselves a new championship belt, but a lot of people are going 50-50 on this. So let's see if we can break the tie here. JCD, what is your opinion of the new WWE championship?
Last night I hated it, but, you know, taking a minute to digest it, I like the design of it. It's different. I like the side logos replacing the nameplate.
Yes.
I think my only complaint about it, and I think it's what a lot of people kind of the morning after are starting to really come to grips with, is that it shouldn't have been Rock that unveiled it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I heard all that stuff.
But as far as the actual belt design on it, you know what? I like it. I checked it out, and it grew on me in 24 hours. I'm not going to lie.
Well, you know, I'm going to express my opinion at the end, but I want to hear everybody else's opinion. Toph, I want to hear your opinion right now. What was your opinion of the new WWE Championship revealed? Whether you think The Rock should have revealed it or not, you know, what do you think of it?
I do think there is some hypocrisy going on with fans. I do think that if CM Punk had unveiled it, fans would have been a little bit more happy. And the fact that The Rock unveiled it, fans were just kind of hating on it. But as far as the actual belt itself goes, I think it looks great. Great-looking belt. It doesn't spin. Finally, a real-looking title. And I don't understand the hate for it. It's a great-looking title. I have no problem with it at all.
And it says champion, not champ on it. Yeah, that's a silly thing to think of. Jay, I'm worried about your opinion. Go ahead.
My opinion?
Yeah, oh, yeah, you got an opinion.
I like it. I don't like it so much with the customized sides on The Rock. I mean, I've seen pictures of what it looks like uncustomized. I think it's a very good-looking belt. My only worry is if Cena walks out of WrestleMania champion, I just hope he doesn't bring back the other belt. That's all.
That's actually a very good point on that, Jay. Actually, I like the belt for another reason. Whoa, hello. Hey, man, you got to turn that down. All right, so my opinion on the WWE Championship, that WWE logo is all over that belt. And to me, when you see The Rock rolling around with that championship belt, it looks great. When you see it in pictures, when you see it in video, when he's carrying that around, in a marketing aspect, I think it looks phenomenal. I think it really puts the WWE name out there. It says champion on it again, which I hated it saying champ. It's simple, too, which I think is really important, that it's very, very simple as a championship title. The bullets on the side, as long as they're going to change it with their own logos, I think it's different instead of having a nameplate. My only gripe with it is it just me or does it look a little bit smaller than it was before?
Yes, I was just going to ask you that. Maybe it's just the way it's shaped, but it looks, the main plate itself looks smaller, right?
It does. I think the nameplate is one of the downsides of that the entire belt itself looks smaller than the World Heavyweight title.
I was wondering about that last night.
It looks small on the Rock.
How big could you actually have the WWE logo, though? That's the only thing.
Well, you know, there are other ways they could have done it. I don't know what ways they could have done it, but it definitely looks smaller than... But honestly, we have a belt at Brickwood4.com where we do our wrestling. We actually have our North American title bigger than our heavyweight title. You know, so we actually have that kind of a issue ourselves, you know, where people rather have a different belt over the other. But, you know, honestly, it's the presence of it. I think it looks a lot better on our world title, just like I think the WWE Championship belt is, you know, better. And CM Punk made a very good thing at the end of the show where he attacked John Cena with the spinner belt, threw it down and said, I want that.
Want that one.
And that was a telling moment, I think, at the end of Raw, where he said, I don't want this spinner title. I never wanted it. I want that one. And it's not, and honestly, I could care less who unveils it. I really don't think it matters. You know, even though CM Punk came up with the idea that, hey, I don't want to have this belt, you know, at the time, you know, The Rock revealing it is more telling than, I think, CM Punk, personally.
You know what sucks about it, though? We're not going to see it for 2 weeks now.
Well.
Good point.
That is a good point. But they got
I'll tell you real quick.
Next week is not about The Rock. The story next week is not about The Rock. It's about John Cena, and it's about CM Punk next week. The Rock doesn't need to be involved because this is about those two guys fighting it out, you know, for the main event spot at WrestleMania, our WrestleMania, which we're all attending. So this is a more prevalent moment than it is with the whole Rock being there or not.
What I would have done is I would have had Rock unveil it when he comes back.
Well,
I would have built it up.
I think it puts John Cena – I think the whole point of it was that it brought John Cena out because now his belt that he created is now being trashed, you know, by The Rock. So right away, you just reignited a feud that John Cena could be like, whoa, I throw my belt away. You know, that's my whole opinion. Toph, what's your opinion on the fact that The Rock revealed it and, you know, him not being there for 2 weeks? You think that's a big deal?
No, it's not a big deal. It'll be fine. There's so many pictures online. Fans will be fine without The Rock being there.
Yeah, I mean, it's 24 hours after. I think The Rock holding the belt is going to be very strong. I think it's a nice belt. And plus, guess what? It's a new replica we can all buy.
I want to ask you a question, though.
Yes.
Some fans are saying, like, are proposing this particular story. I want to see what you thought about it. Let's assume that it's going to be a triple threat, Rock, Punk, and Cena.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock keeps the new belt that he just debuted last night. Cena keeps his spinner belt. And Punk debuts his own custom belt.
That's
and going into
belts,
Mania,
belts for me to buy, man.
Yeah, I know, but going into Mania, all three of them are promoting their own belts. Or does that just seem kind of weird?
I don't know, JCD, your opinion.
I like it. It could be a different, just one added twist to it. I saw that you put that up today, right, Toph?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. That's almost like what Taz did in ECW when he had the FTW belt and was going after Douglas for the world title. You know, I like that. And especially that could get interesting if Punk somehow doesn't lose next week. And all Punk has to do is not lose. He doesn't have to win. You know, a draw works for Punk. Punk can go around and say, I beat The Rock at the Rumble. I beat The Rock at Elimination Chamber. You know, now I've just defeated, you know, or I'm in the main event of WrestleMania. You know, I'm the WWE champion and carry his own belt around. That would just be, I think that could be phenomenal.
Well, Jay, your opinion on that?
It's not a bad idea at all. I mean, my only worry in that would be too much focus being taken off of one championship when it should be the, you know, the marquee point of the actual match itself should be just one championship. Besides that, if they can make it work, I'm all for it. But you know. I actually just looked at another picture of the belt again, you know, going back on what they could probably improve on it. If you look at the picture of the belt again, there's a lot of blank space behind the WWE logo. It's just black leather. It's not anything special. They could have improved that.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point, too. Actually, that was another thing that I thought about it was there was a little bit of emptiness in the belt, unlike the previous title. But it does make the WWE logo stand out, which I think is, like, one of the main reasons why I think they went that route, just to make it stand out. You know, it's time to adjust around the belt. You know, I personally think I like it. I think I don't know why people are getting all pissy on it, but, you know, that's the way people are. This is ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We are PWP Radio. We want to thank everybody for joining in tonight on the discussion on the new WWE Championship. But to move forward on more things that happened on Raw, Vince McMahon is coming back to fight Paul Heyman. JCD, I need to know your opinion on what do you think this will lead to next week. It's a big Raw next week, by the way. You know,
Triple
actually,
H and Lesnar.
Well, we know
Triple
that.
Triple H and Lesnar are definitely coming out there in that match.
Oh, we could definitely see that be happening. I mean, what are your thoughts on how they're getting there? Uh-oh, here we go.
No. That wasn't the eight-minute rant. No, yeah. I just think it's going to be a quick, you know, cluster mess. Lesnar will probably be the first guy out, and, you know, during a quick beatdown events, that's when you'll hear Motorhead play.
Yeah, you know, I find funny about this is Vicky Guerrero brought back Brock Lesnar, yet now she doesn't like Paul Heyman, and she's kind of at fault for why Vince McMahon got attacked. I'm just throwing out the scenario, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling how it is. Tope, what is your opinion of it?
Man, when they announced that crowd really pissed me off. Had that been like in a smarky city, just saying Paul Heyman and Vince McMahon in the same sentence would have made the roof blow up. Man, that crowd was so dead. But, yeah, I mean, pretty much what you guys said. It's just leading to Brock Lesnar. Triple H, too. I have absolutely zero interest in that match. Their match put me to sleep last year at SummerSlam. The build-up was terrible, and I don't expect it to be any better this year. So they can have fun with that match. As long as it takes up, like, 20, 30 minutes plus intros at Mania, they can do what they want. I really don't care.
Wow, you know, Negative J, I think all your negativity is going to Negative Tope.
No, I can understand where he's coming from. I mean, my main thing about that match is obviously it's going to signal the return of Triple H because if you look, they kept him off the WrestleMania press conference in New Orleans because they kind of didn't want him in sight, so you kind of forget that maybe he's around. Definitely think you'll see Brock come out and try to attack Vince. I think Triple H will come out. My only worry about that match is if it does happen is I don't want Triple H to win it. I don't think Triple H should win it. I think Brock Lesnar should win it at Mania, sign for 2 years, move on to bigger feuds, and, you know, stuff like that. And going back as to why the crowd didn't really get involved when the announcement of Heyman and McMahon, I think it's because Raw started with the crowd being teased that they were going to get Cena Punk just to have it announced for next week, and that kind of took the sales out of everybody for Raw continuing forward that night. So,
well, good point. You know,
good point.
It's a very good point on that. You know, I'm hoping they're throwing some kind of a stipulation in it. You know, Triple H did lose the last couple years in a row, so we have to give the guy credit. He's been losing a lot of matches lately. He lost to Sheamus and The Undertaker. So don't count him out of this yet.
No, he
did.
Well,
what's up?
He beat Sheamus at WrestleMania. He lost to him at Extreme Rules.
Listen, don't correct me. I'm right. You're wrong. I'm fieldy. So, you know, going forward, you should buy more merchandise too, by the way. So, as far as other Raw things, let's talk about Jack Swagger. Hashtag We Are The People. You know, an amazing showing, you know, of Jack Swagger. But the one thing I think that stands out to me over Jack Swagger, over any heel in the business, this guy beats people and doesn't need help beating it. He just has a guy that is just talking for him, who gets people to hate him, and Jack Swagger goes in there, kicks someone's ass, and leaves without any help or cheating or anything. I think that's, to me, what's making Jack Swagger credible. JCD, what are your thoughts on We the People? Which, by the way, I hope they have a T-shirt.
Well, this is going to be interesting next week because this was featured on Fox News tonight.
Uh-oh.
Because apparently the flag they were using last night was the Tea Party flag.
Was it? I didn't even notice.
Yeah, apparently.
It was.
And already they've had to issue a statement saying that they're not mocking the Tea Party, that, you know, WWE is a world of fictional characters. This is going to do one of two things. This is either going to tone this down, or it's going to do exactly what they want and get some big publicity for it, which is, you know, is going to really, let's hope it doesn't hurt the character going forward. I said this to you guys last week. You know, I love it. I loved it. I thought it was great. Swagger was my pick to win the chamber. This could be really good, and this could really play up some emotion in a nice opener or second match at WrestleMania. Now you're getting some mainstream attention. There's no election this year. Let's hope they don't panic and pull the plug on it or tone it down to, you know, right when it starts to get hot.
Yeah, I mean, I could see this becoming a pretty interesting group. They have their own YouTube channel, which I think people should go check out. They advertised that last night. So they're acting very independently, you know, using their own YouTube and everything like that. This has a lot of leg ground. Who would have thought Jack Swagger would be the face of this? Toph, what are your opinions of Jack Swagger and the Real American?
You know, one of my favorite quotes is, "Those that don't learn from their mistakes in the past are destined to repeat it." And it's become clear to me that WWE has not learned from their previous mistakes with Jack Swagger. I have absolutely nothing against the gimmick, the persona, or his character. But once again, they're pushing him really out of nowhere. Last time, he jobbed for an entire year, doing nothing but jobbing. Then he just won Money in the Bank out of nowhere, cashed in on Jericho, and all of a sudden, he's supposed to be a credible threat. And this time, he jobbed not necessarily for a year, but a good portion of the year. He disappears off TV for months, then just randomly comes back and just has this new gimmick. I feel like if they were going to give him this new gimmick, they could have slowly teased it. Like these dumb little segments they're doing with that Fandango guy, like during the commercial breaks, the little 30-second clips. They could have easily just done clips of Jack Swagger showing what he was doing in his off time, about him just reading political stuff, showing the change that he's going through over the months. But he just comes back, has this new gimmick, and I'm just supposed to take him seriously. And just, No. This gimmick's just no. I don't care about Swagger. No.
So let me ask you a question.
We've got six Raws
leading into WrestleMania. Swagger's obviously going to run the table. But if Swagger, let's say, beats Sin Cara, Rey Mysterio, to play off on the left, you know, like the Hispanic and Latin side of it, and then goes out and beats a couple of credible guys, let's say like Orton and maybe a Miz, and is legitimately built up, is there any chance stuff that can change your mindset on it?
If they book him as a serious threat, and most importantly, if they get the fans to legitimately hate him, have heat, then yes, it would change my opinion on him. But I'm just not confident.
You're gonna have heat at MetLife Stadium because of where it is. It's right outside New York. You have a large Hispanic population in New York. You're gonna have, you know, a decent sized Hispanic crowd in that arena. It's gonna have heat in the arena. That's not gonna
be the
issue.
I think the question necessarily isn't really about Swagger. I think it's really more about Del Rio in this case.
But that's not Swagger's fault, though.
Well, you know, my whole thing on, I think it's a great gimmick. It's something better than what Jack Swagger's been doing in a long time. In fact, ever, I would say. And I'm behind it. I understand the message they're getting across. Jay, what's your opinion of Mr. Jack Swagger?
I think great music. Great theme music.
I like the look.
Great manager. Probably I'd say my only problem with the thing is that I don't have any problem admitting this, is I'm a liberal. If I wanted to listen to the propaganda that he's preaching, I'd probably tune into Fox News.
The only thing besides that is
I kind of would have pushed back maybe the State of the Union address maybe a week or two, and I probably would have had Del Rio come out instead of watching from a monitor in the back and then responding to it through Twitter. I think I would have had some kind of confrontation. Doesn't have to get physical right away, but I think it would have had some kind of confrontation.
Yeah, there was nothing between the two guys. I think they just wanted to embrace Swagger's time just to get people to understand who he is and how he won it. And I think they have plenty of weeks to build this up. This is what's great about this year's WrestleMania. There is time to build everything, and that is what makes this really strong. You know, and let's talk about
13 shows left.
We have a lot of shows to go. And let's talk about now one of the other big moments of the night, probably the match of the night, the six-man tag team match, and that is the Shield versus Jericho. Well, it came out of nowhere for this one. Jericho, Sheamus, and Ryback. The Shield wins again. How credible are these guys? They are very credible. JCD, your thoughts on the Shield win against those three big names from the WWE?
Yeah, I was a little surprised when they announced this. I was more impressed that they won. I mean, I guess as close to clean as possible. I know a lot of people online last night were kind of speculating, you know, maybe Jericho or somebody would turn. You know, as we just said, there's still more time to do that if that's the route they're going to go. But I think it shows, if you look at what they've done, and they've only done three, you know, matches between pay-per-view and TV, they're undefeated. They've gone over, you know, probably seven or eight of the biggest names you can go over.
John Cena,
and I don't know if I don't know who follows house show results, but they're not even getting pinned on house shows. They're losing by DQ due to like run-in interference by whichever one of them is not wrestling. So they're not even having them job out on the road, which shows me that they've got some major, major plans for them. I've kind of got an idea for maybe where this all goes with them and Ryback, but I want to give it one more week before I kind of put it out there. But I thought it was great last night.
The idea doesn't want to be stolen. That's all it's about. Toph, your opinion on the Shield last night?
It was a good match. I'm just trying to figure out what the end game is.
Well, you know what? Who said there has to be an end game to anything? You know, the Freebirds were around for years. There's no end game with them.
Oh, you think they'll be around that long?
I don't know. We don't know yet. I mean, right now we don't have an end game. They're just people hired out to do, you know, hits. That's all they're really there to do. But they
so like a three-man APA?
That's basically what they are, and they do it convincingly, too, and they have great matches. Jay, your thoughts on your favorite theme song?
I actually like the match. Give these guys as many wins as possible. They tried to tease that Jericho was going to go heel, it looked like. They looked like they flirted with that idea, but in the end of things, I think ultimately Ryback's going to go heel is what you're going to see, and because I think Jericho's off TV for, what, two more weeks, I think, after last night?
Yeah, Jericho's off for two.
Yeah, so you know what? Keep giving these guys wins. Make them the powerhouse. The only thing that I would have ever changed about the Shield in the past is I don't think I would ever have Roman Reigns talk. I think Roman Reigns should just be that physical guy like they started to in that first segment with Michael Cole. I think
yeah.
They should have just stuck to him as little words as possible and just be a force. Besides that, the only other thing I changed about the Shield, too, is maybe a better finisher for the three of them to do because two people helping you pick someone up for a powerbomb is kind of weak, but I like what they're doing with them.
I think the only reason why I like it is because when they did it the first time, it was they took out Ryback on a table. I think that's the only reason why I like it. But, yeah, remember, sometimes the more powerful moves doesn't have to be the most impressive, you know, between the whole thing. But with Raw, let's talk about overall Raw in general. JCD, I'm going to give you a star rating, 1 to 5 stars. Tell me your rating and why.
Give it about 3.5. I thought for all the good on it, there was bad, you know. The Mark Henry thing, dear God, tell me he's not going anywhere near Khali at WrestleMania.
That's the main event.
Yeah, right. I thought the show was a little flat at times. So, you know, yeah, I'll go 3.5.
3.5? Toph?
It gets 2 stars. It was a pretty horrible Raw. The only memorable part was the belt unveiling at the end. That show was really just another example of how going 3 hours was bad. The segment where Wade Barrett was talking about a movie for like 5 minutes and the Sheamus just showed up and was like, okay, you can go now. Like, that was just pointless. That was just killing time, really. It was a really bad show. You know, the Henry Conley stuff was bad. The Punk Cena tease at the beginning, just a lot of filler, just a very boring show that was just, you know, a setup show, setting up, you know, got a lot of weeks left of Mania, but if not for that Rock unveiling the new belt thing, I think nobody would have cared about Raw yesterday.
Okay, and Jay, your thoughts?
I agree. I'd probably put it between a 2 and a 3. I'm really getting tired every week watching Raw that the Rock's on, waiting till the last segment for him to show up at 10:55. I think that takes away a lot of stuff from Raw. The only other problem I think I had with Raw last night was exactly what everybody touched on. That whole thing with Sheamus and Wade Barrett, it made me wonder what was going on after that. Basically, Sheamus just told everybody not to see the movie that Wade Barrett was just spent 10 minutes promoting. So it's kind of like made no sense to me after I got done watching. I was like, okay, cool. Don't want to see this movie now.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when he did that, I'm like, are they setting up a feud between them? Or I wasn't sure what they were trying to do there. You know, it did seem like it was filler. I thought I was going to see, you know, someone else come out or do something with that, but nothing really happened. A couple moments I liked the beginning and the end. I thought the setup for next week's Raw, which I've said it so many times, they never do this, where they say, oh, next week on Raw, we're going to have this match. They don't do that at all. And I think that what made this good is that we have something to look forward to next week. I think the Dolph Ziggler fake cash-in was really good. You know, they had a match between those two, and we had a fake cash-in, you know, in a way. So that was really good with, you know, Rodriguez stopping that from happening. So I would say I did skip through some of the matches. I thought there could have been a lot better things. I would say a 3 is good. I would say the championship reveal was the big thing that we are taking away from that. But even though WrestleMania 29 is around the corner for us, and we're all pretty much going to that event, we got some big news about next year's WrestleMania. And WrestleMania 30 is now taking place in Bourbon Street in New Orleans. God help us, how many drunk wrestling fans are going to be there? But, man, it seems like it's going to be one heck of a party, and the return of Roman numerals, which I think a lot of people enjoy. JCD, your thoughts on WrestleMania going to New Orleans, and hopefully the power holds up.
I was just going to say that.
I stole it already.
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. It fits with the, you know, the big stadium theme. I know there were some people crying out for MSG, but, you know, the Superdome's a good fit, and that is going to be one interesting crowd next year.
Yeah. At least we know they'll be into it, unlike the Elimination Chamber and the Raw guys of this year. They were terrible. Your thoughts on WrestleMania 30?
Hey, man, Rock Cena 3, three times in a lifetime. I'm ready for it.
Well, technically not. If CM Punk gets in this thing, it's going to be that. You know, Brock Lesnar was not at that either, so that's quite interesting that Brock Lesnar wasn't at that. Jay, your thoughts on WrestleMania 30. Are we going?
Yeah, we're going. I hope it's sponsored by Monster Energy Drink, because the past 2 days, the crowd in New Orleans and Louisiana has been absolutely dead. So I hope that they have a little more life to them. Besides that, I think, you know, we'll probably get something big next year. I really want to see, Rock Randy Orton. I kind of hope that's a match next year, but who knows?
I think The Rock will be back long enough where we don't have to have Rock in the main event. I think we've had him in, you know, hosting WrestleMania, two headline matches. I think he can take a back seat on this one. But I think
he didn't even comment on it. He wouldn't even commit to it. So.
Well, you know,
no, he's there.
Yeah, he's good. I think that the fact that he was there to be there with the actual logo and the whole conference, I think he'll be a part of it. I don't see a reason why he won't. He may not be.
Let's hope, because his comments today kind of went against it.
Well, what did he say today?
What did he say?
I'm trying to find it. You can continue. Well, I'll find it for you later.
All right. So, in my opinion, I love the logo. I like the purple logo around it. I think it actually makes me want to go to that Mania already. I'm not even know what the hell they're going to be doing in a year. You know, it looks like a lot of fun, and, you know, that's a very strong logo. I think, you know, ours is still pretty good, but I think that one kicks a lot of ass, I have to say. Jay, what's the article about? Give us a quote.
It says, during yesterday's announcement at WrestleMania 30 New Orleans, The Rock was asked about wrestling at the event. The Rock was noncommittal, stating the following, "I can't tell you that. No, I can't confirm. I can't tell you that." So,
well, you know, we don't know his status in a year. We don't know what happens to him, you know. I guess after this year's WrestleMania, we'll find out.
Well, here's something for you.
Okay.
Heyman tweeted that since The Rock's going to be at WrestleMania 30, he's got the perfect idea for an opponent.
Oh, yes, I did read that tweet by him, yes. And speaking of tweets, you should read the Iron Sheik's tweets. They are freaking hilarious. I don't know if you ever listened to him, but he's pretty damn funny.
They'd do The Rock, Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Well, we could see that, a rematch at SummerSlam. I think that would make perfect sense on going that route. You know, we only have about 5 minutes remaining in the show this evening. JCD, your final thoughts, the last 48 hours of time, you know, how excited are you for WrestleMania?
I'm actually very excited. And the fact that, you know what, I know we're going to go the obvious road with Triple H, Lesnar, but
by the way,
fact that we're going
to go that Mania, by the way, just want to point that out.
What'd you say?
Cena's winning the belt at Mania. I just want everyone to know that.
Yeah, and, you know, Superman's going to walk out with the title, although we don't know how he's going to get there. Look at what we thought we knew 4 months ago,
we were wrong.
Look at what we're getting, and this is kind of what pisses me off about the IWC. You know, they sit there and bitch and moan about, we need something different. We're getting something different. No one had Del Rio's swagger in that World Heavyweight title match. And you know what? It's different. It's taking an interesting turn to get there. And yet, we're still got the little, I don't want that, I don't like that. But yet, if we would have gotten Big Show Ryback for the title, by now you'd have people bitching that, oh, it's the same old crap, or Sheamus Orton. So, you know, embrace the fact that we're getting something different. Give it a chance to play out. It's the same thing like when the Swagger thing was getting killed the night after he came back. Let it play out before you bitch and moan and cry and whine about it. And I guarantee you, you're going to enjoy what you get April 7th at MetLife Stadium.
Well said. Toph, you have any final thoughts?
On Mania this year?
Yeah, the road to WrestleMania has now begun. I think next week's going to be the biggest week of them all. But tell me, what are your thoughts? The last 48 hours of pro wrestling, what do you think? WrestleMania, good direction?
I have no interest in Mania this year. If you're talking to someone that went to WrestleMania 27 and WrestleMania 28, that's money I wish I could get back, but did not. So I'm going to pass this year as a wrestling fan. I'm going to watch like everybody else and review and write my opinions. But as far as general investment goes, no interest at all.
All right. And that's Toast's opinion, ladies and gentlemen. Negative J. Some positive news
I think then the road to WrestleMania this year is going to be good. I think they set up Cena Punk in advance because you're going to get The Undertaker next week in Dallas, Texas. I think they weren't going to bring him into Louisiana, so I think they wanted to hold off till it was in Texas. So with The Rock and Jericho not being on TV here and there throughout the road, I think it's going to be good to have Triple H and The Undertaker are going to step up and get us on the road.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest question. Where is The Undertaker going to lie if CM Punk actually wins? You know, are they going to pull up Brock Lesnar or Undertaker? Are they going to pull up Brock Lesnar or Triple H? It's going to be an interesting, road. Maybe we just won't have Undertaker at all. And honestly, we already have some pretty good headlining matches. I don't even know if people would actually, care as much, but they might. I don't know. Just my opinion. And Jay, we're going to get a hotel room, right? Because we're going to get messed up.
Whoa. Yeah, we're going to get a hotel room with two twin beds. Let's get okay, crazy here.
Yeah, I do love
that. You got to throw that
bed
out there.
Absolutely, man. We're going to put the twin beds together. We're going to wrap everything around the ropes. We are going to put posts down, and we are going to have a pre-WrestleMania Royal Rumble.
Got an Irish whip.
With Irish whip, I had to cut him off. I don't know what he said. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us here tonight here at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We have a big show. JCD, what's that show called again?
Oh, you didn't know tomorrow night, me and Seth.
Yeah, Seth tonight. You know, what's up with that?
He does his own things.
No, whatever. So,
you know, we've had a great one. We've got guests galore lined up through March. Haven't had a week without a guest since December 19th. So, good things going on Wednesday nights, and we were at FWE together this past Saturday night. Great little show, and at JCD1219 on Twitter.
Yes, make sure you add him and make sure you listen to the show tomorrow night. That stupid Blah Talk Radio woman's in my ear. I hate her. It's been a wonderful, wonderful show. I want to thank Jay, even though he wasn't feeling well because he knew how great my voice was. He wanted me to come on air, and I thank him for that. It's been a great show. I want to thank Toph, Jay, Kentucky guy, I forgot his name, and Nick from New Jersey. Thank you guys for calling in. This is blogtalkradio.com. This is prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. Hashtag PWP Radio. Make sure you get us here every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. iTunes, we have all of our episodes. All you got to do is hit the subscribe button, and you will have it on your computer or iPhone. Yes, iPhones are the best phones on the market. So make sure you also check out TLDWrestling.com, Brookwood4.com. Thank you very much, guys. And remember, I'm not going to keep it real, but I am going to tell you straight up, my name is TLD, and we are out. And we're going to go out with the biggest theme song in the world, and this is it.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm cute. I'm a champion.